are.
The Kate Daly Show, where telling the truth is now a revolutionary act. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Hi there, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I have a big show ahead. Melissa's on vacation, and so she'll be missed, and I'm going to be doing a sort of an expose on something that we're giving the military that is really scary. We're giving our active duty. So you'll, if you're a veteran or have anyone in your family that's in the military, you might want to listen up in that first hour of the national show. And I'll take calls, too, if you'd like. So a lot of information there. In the final hour, I'll be going through talking about things that about Brennan, about Gildebrandt, about or Hildebrandt, I'm sorry, Hildebrandt, about Beto, about Mueller, that are even more than intriguing. So, and also an April surprise, a theory about possibly what's going on globally that will affect the United States. And is it what's being played out? Is this theory right? So I'm going to be taking your calls through the whole show. Phone lines are open, 888-673-1450. You're more than welcome to join me. Susan may be joining me in the last hour. And a lot to talk about today. In fact, I want to tackle a couple of things before I get there. Just so you know, there is a town hall. This town hall is, you know, I encourage questions and I encourage holding feet to the fire. So Romney, Junior Senator Romney, is holding an event Friday night. I think it's Friday night, town hall. And I actually think you should go ask questions. I think it'd be really good. So this is going to be at the Gardner Center in Conference Room D, and ask him why he is loving Obamacare you know, there are so many questions, are there not? So please, by all means, Friday night, April 5th, you can go and ask away. 7 o'clock, I'm sorry. 7 o'clock is that town hall in St. George. And I really do think his feet need to be held to the fire. And I think people should show and ask really good questions that he has to answer and not give the politician answer. I think that he owes that to the state that elected him. A lot of things on my mind right now, and we'll launch in, I think. Before we get started, ABC, Auto Body Central, I talk about them on the show a lot because I trust them. I've trusted them with my own vehicle. If something has happened to your car, or maybe it's a little fix, maybe it was a little fender bender, and you don't want to go through insurance, these guys are the perfect outlet to go to. Not only can you trust them, they'll get your car back fast and they'll do a superior job. I mean, they're perfectionists and they do it quick. Everything that you want in somebody that's taking care of your vehicle. So by all means, go to Auto Body Central. I highly, highly recommend these guys. Supporting them, you're supporting the show. And also, let me just say that they're honest and they're good. And if you've been in an accident, you don't have to go to one of two places that the insurance company recommends. There's usually reasons they recommend just a couple of places because they've had, you know, arrangements with them. You can actually go to anyone, and most people don't know that. So I would, if it were me, it would be done in a split second. I would choose Auto Body Central. You can call 817-0949. Ask away. Great questions. They welcome everything. And also, even if it's beyond cosmetic or beyond something like that, ask them if they can do it because they tackle the impossible. And I've seen them do wonders. StGeorgeAutoBody.com. I just love these guys. I want to tackle a tough subject, and we've tackled some of this on the show before, but this story brought, I think, a whole new level of insight that I hadn't thought about, quite frankly, to youth suicide. And when we're seeing, I think in a lot of cases, you might I don't know, maybe you have a child that's depressed and you can kind of see, you know, something going on with your kid that causes alarm bells. That is one case scenario, right? And you know that maybe they're struggling with something. When it's done in a way that all of a sudden something where they take their own life and you can't figure it out because this is a kid that is just excited about the future and on top of everything and what's causing this. And I think that leads to a lot of questions in our minds. Sean McCausland's going to be joining us in just a little bit and talking about this in depth as well. But this whole problem of youth suicide, but this happened in Utah, and I want to draw attention to this only because I think parents need to be aware and have this conversation with their kids. And how often do we say on the show, please have certain conversations on the show, I mean, with your kids, because it's that important. So this actually was in the Deseret News, and so I would have never done this story had they not already gone to Deseret News and talked about this. But Tevin Tobler was 16 years old, you know, kind of a boy next door All-American and kid, everything going for him, excited, champion wrestler in high school, you know, active in church, just super kid, just, you know, one of those kids where you just go, how did I get such a great kid? And excited about life and just a gift to his friends and just a wonderful kid. He loved the outdoors, prided himself on survival skills, made plans to go on a 50-mile backpacking adventure, and is just a fantastic, handsome kid. He took his own life in the fall. And there was a huge amount of shock to this because nobody saw it coming. And I'm sure that the family has really, really struggled with why. Because in a case scenario like this, you can only imagine that when you don't see this coming, when you're blindsided by this. But I think what happened in this situation needs to be included in a conversation with our children because of where we're at with technology and things that have changed that we didn't face years ago. That the things that we dealt with, that I dealt with in high school in the 80s, are not what our kids are dealing with today. And our kids that have cell phones, and most every kid has one now, this kind of thing is going to happen. I hadn't even thought about it, to tell you the truth. And so I wanted to actually talk about this because it's this important that we remind our kids about these kinds of dangers as well. So we have the bullying dangers, right? And we're all aware of that. We've talked about that at length and so forth. But this one was different. There was no mental health history, you know, no substance abuse history, no suicidal ideology, nothing. And he took his life. And it was just tragic and sad and terrible. And when they went through the cell phone records, they noticed that a number had been called more than 1,000 times on his phone. And sometimes every 30 seconds. And so they processed the information on the phone and they realized that the person was based on the Ivory Coast and that the video and that there had been some videos made made. And so what happened here was that the person that was calling this young man was starting to get a little bit more hostile, that he was going to basically extort him and basically telling him to kill himself and that he was going to ruin his life and that some things were going to come out and, you know, as far as whatever was on this video. And so I think this situation, because our kids have phones, because our kids are vulnerable in this way, to somebody that's 16, this would be such a difficult thing because to a 16-year-old, Your life would be in ruin. As an adult, I can look back and think, well, that was high school. You know, you get through things. But when you're in high school, I mean, everything is centered around you think that this is the only moment that exists, that this is the time that exists. And so if somebody were threatening you, extorting you, anything in this kind of case, I think a 16-year-old would very easily be consumed into the idea of thinking that it could definitely ruin their life, and that their only option is to leave this life. And as tragic as that is, I mean, it's so sad to even think that, because when I look back on high school, like I said, you think, oh my gosh, that's something that you get through and you move on, but to a kid, not so much. So we live in a different age, in a different world. And they think this was the reason that, led to his sudden suicide. And my heart goes out to this family. My heart goes out to this extended family. Because I think in wondering why and having to deal with this, it would make me want to run out and tell other parents, please tell your kids, no matter what, no matter anyone that, threatens them, no matter anybody that, tries to tell them that their life would be ruined, please, by all means, we're there for you. Nothing like that could ever happen. We will make sure it wouldn't happen. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. We'll deal with it as if we'll get through it. And I think at, in this day and age, that if we're not having that conversation with our kids right now, that or our grandkids, that I just can't even imagine a more important conversation. We don't know what's going on with our kids all the time. And I'm so well aware of that. We don't know what they could be, what's going on with them, who could be contacting them, who they meet, who they talk to on social media. We really don't know. Even the most helicopter parent wouldn't know. And I really applaud this family in stepping up and putting this out there and have, I mean, I can't even imagine what they're going through right now. And then on top of it, trying to help other families, understand that, their children could be subject to this too, because we don't know who they're involved with. We don't know who they're talking to. And like I said, a kid at this age might think that everything is over, that what this person that they on the other line is saying is true. And this person was telling them over and over and over again that, you know, you ruined your life and you should take your own life and all of these things. And that has a huge impact on somebody so young. We've all been through a lot in our lives, so we can look back and recognize that as an adult, I would view this very differently than if I was a kid viewing this. And as a kid, I would have never had to have dealt with this, so I don't even know how I would have reacted. And my heart goes out to this family. I think it's a conversation that we need to have. That if you're ever in a situation where somebody's extorting you, somebody is doing something where they're threatening you, threatening your family, please, you know, come to us. Let us help you through it. Let us be part of that. And you know, no judgment, no anything. We will help you and we'll get through it. Please have that conversation with your kids. Let's let this help other families as this family is seeking to get through this pain of this that happened to them. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
With you down every road you roam. And may sunshine and happiness surround you when you're far from home. And may you grow to be proud, dignified and true. And do unto others as you'd have done to you. Be courageous and be brave. And in my heart you'll always stay.
Hi there. Welcome back. Talking about a real sensitive story and one that I think needs to be told, quite frankly. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I wanted to discuss this today. This was a Utah case, and there was an article in Deseret News about it. And it brought up something so important that it made me want to have that conversation with my own kids immediately. So I felt like I really wanted to talk about this on the air so that more parents, more grandparents could engage in a conversation with the youth, because they're tackling things that we didn't tackle. We didn't have cell phones, and we didn't have people in other countries that could reach us like they can now without us even realizing it. And my heart goes out to this family. I just really feel for them. this young man in high school took his life up north and did so after kind of what they would call a sextortion case, where he thought the person on the other end was female and made a video, and then that person on the other end from the Ivory Coast threatened to share that video with his family, threatened to do all of these things to him in his life, and even extorted money out of him. And this young man paid him money and thought that this person was really going to ruin his life. And he kept telling him, I'm going to ruin your life. You should go take your life. You should go end your life. You should do all of these things. And so he didn't know how to fix it. And his parents said, you know, he made a rare mistake. He didn't know how to fix it. And he feared that he was going to lose everything that he had just spent all of his life working for and didn't know any other road out. And I think the best thing that we can do as parents is to sit our kids down and say, if anything like this ever happens to you, if you ever come across somebody that is messaging you or on social media with you or getting a hold of you and threatening you or our family or whatever the case may be, there is nothing that could ever, ever happen that we could not get through and that we could not handle. And so I think that it's really, really important to be mindful that this kind of stuff happens, because we always think either bullying or we think depression or we think all of these other reasons, which are all catalysts too, of youth suicide, especially in our state, going up. But I also think that this is a whole nother realm that we don't think about. A sextortion case where a video is used, this is a huge thing. And we don't realize that our kids will look at it totally different than we will. We don't look at it. We've been through things where we've had this resiliency in our lives, and we just think, well, that's something that you deal with. But as a kid, you would think that it was all over. And it's important to understand that our kids would take it very differently, and that we didn't deal with these kinds of things in our youth. And I repeat this only because sometimes people come in and out of the show, and I wanted to make sure that people understood that please have that conversation with your kids. Even if you don't think, you should have it anyway. It will help, because maybe they can help a friend. Maybe if they know somebody's going through something. I'm gonna turn the mics on for Sean and Camille McCausland. Thank you for joining me. How are you?
Hey, it's good to be here.
Good.
I'm so glad. I was going through this case, and it's so tragic. What a great, fantastic, handsome kid. And I my heart goes out to this family that did not see this coming and were so shocked by this. And of course you would be, because this, you know, you're raising your kids, and I just can't imagine. The youth suicide rate's going up.
Yeah.
There are a lot of catalysts. There are a lot of reasons. What are some of the other catalysts?
Well, really, as I've learned a lot more about mm-hmm. this, because we're putting this conference on.
When is the conference?
Oh, it's on the 13th, Saturday, 9 a.m.
April.
Hurricane
April
High School.
Okay, Hurricane High School, Saturday. Yeah. Okay.
And we got some great people. We can talk about that if we have time. But
okay.
And talking with a really good friend of mine who's a therapist that deals with suicidal people a mm-hmm. lot, she said, the primary thing is shame.
Yeah.
That is the thing that gives people a feeling that they can't go on, that
yeah.
they can't survive this, that there's no hope. And the thing we have is a way to help people understand there is hope, no matter how bad it looks.
That you can get through shame.
Yeah, you can get through it. This is, I don't know if you want, I'll tell a quick story if you have a minute, but... A number of years ago, mm-hmm. a good friend of mine, who was a school teacher, mm-hmm. got involved with one of his students. It was played out in the public eye. He was arrested. He was mm-hmm. fired. There were a lot of different things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just devastated, and his family was devastated. But he was lucky enough that he had a wife that stood by him through this. Which is, you know, she didn't have to do that.
Right.
She would have been well within her rights to say, I'm done with you.
Sure.
But she stood by him, and some of his church family, mm-hmm. Me included, mm-hmm. Put her arms around him and said, you know, you can recover from this.
Right.
And he did. And he's...
I'm so glad to
totally
hear that.
Recovered his life. He's not teaching school. Mm-hmm. He lost that trust. But there was another avenue for him to go forward and to make his life okay,
right,
and even good, and he's happy now. He's ashamed of that still, and mm-hmm. he should be.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he found that he knew that he was a good person.
Right.
He knew that there was value in him.
That there's a way back.
And he found a way back. He's forgiven. His wife mm-hmm. forgave him. His church community forgave him.
Isn't it funny that, you know, my grandma used to always say, church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Isn't that the truth?
That's what it
sometimes
should be.
But we lose sight of that. No matter what church you belong to, no matter what your culture is or your church family, there is that element of everyone's perfect. Everybody's perfect. It's like Facebook and everybody goes to church. It's like showing your best self, and everybody's going through trials. Everybody's dealing with stuff. But it's just hard sometimes, and that's where that comes from, right? That level of shame is that you feel like you must be the only one going through something. And isn't that the whole process of having I mean, honestly, we should be a lot more forgiving with each other, really.
Well, we all
and
we
understanding
all fall short somehow.
Yes, yes.
And so we need to understand that other people do, and it's okay.
I think one of the things too in our culture nowadays is that we're told we're always falling short.
Right.
The messages we get out there
true.
Are that we're falling short, and I think our teens are getting it more than we ever did.
Yeah,
from what I can tell.
That's true.
Everything outside of ourselves is telling us not only what we what we should be like,
mm-hmm.
but that we're not measuring up. And for teens in particular, they're finding and establishing who they really are. And having that strength in themselves is such a key. And that really is something that needs to be worked on
mm-hmm.
from all angles with our young people. Because if not,
great point.
They're always going to be looking outside themselves for that kind of, you know, who am I?
Right.
So then when something like this happens,
mm-hmm.
they are extorted, or maybe they did do something and people just want to sensationalize it. I mean, it's always all over social media.
It is.
Then how do they handle it? It feels devastating, like they're never going to be able to recover from that. So why go on?
Right.
You know, and so helping them to know who they are and be strong in themselves. I know who I am. And I'm not always going to be that they're saying I'm supposed to be, that I should be.
Exactly.
That strength is really vital.
Thank you for that. I want to take a phone call. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to share an idea that I had. I kind of found a group where you try and be conscientious, you try and be responsible, and when you make a mistake, it's so mortifying mm-hmm. that you can't bear to tell people.
Right.
But, you know, people can use a bridge. They can confide in a friend
mm-hmm.
who then can help them tell the critical people in their life.
True.
And so if this teenager had thought mm-hmm. or had been trained previously, tell a friend
mm-hmm.
who can then go talk to your parents
right.
and then bring you into it. Because sometimes it's just a bridge too far. People can't imagine how it's going to be. When they tell those critical people,
true.
It's going to be so devastating to those people. They just can't face that moment.
Oh, I'm so glad
to have somebody
that.
Else mm-hmm. who is just maybe a friend. You could tell another teenager, I made this stupid mistake, and I can't believe I did this, but
right.
I can't tell my parents.
Right.
Would you
right.
help me?
I love the
maybe
idea.
Maybe that would work. And we
yes.
should put that idea into people's
okay.
heads.
Thank
to use somebody else
okay.
to help them.
Thank you for that.
I
really appreciate that. Thanks, Susan. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm really glad that she brought that up because one of the things that I've learned recently, because Sean and I are not experts. We just
mm-hmm.
feel the need for this. So that's why we're doing this conference. One of the things I've learned is that having connections is really the first step in suicide prevention.
Right.
Before anybody ever gets to that point of being really depressed, hopeless, and then...
Mm-hmm.
It's I'm over. I'm
right,
done.
Right.
So making connections and with each other.
Yeah.
You know, the person that's struggling, making connections, but especially us being observant and making connections.
Right.
Even if you don't know the person.
Well, that's why I said, you know, as far as having this conversation with your kids or grandkids, do it anyway. Even if you don't even think that there's an issue, because they could be a friend to somebody else. And in their peer group, if they ever saw this going on, then they know what to say. You know, and sometimes our youth don't know what to say in this kind of situation. So it would be really good to arm them with, well, this is what you should do, and this is what you should encourage them to do, and let them know that, hey, you can get through this. You know, this is something that we can deal with. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You got about 30 seconds. Sorry about that. Go ahead. Go ahead. Caller. Okay. And so I feel like we need to do it anyway. There's just, we don't know all of these types of things. I wouldn't have even thought of this. I wouldn't even thought of somebody from another country, you know, doing this to a 16-year-old. And the 16-year-old, of course, would think that. Of course they would think that everything was over. Because at that age, everything is. It's lambasted. Everything, like you said, is lambasted on social media. Already. Can you imagine this too? I can't. And I had some parents on whose son did the same thing so tragically. And it was over a video that was a racist video that they were saying was racist. And it really wasn't. These were his friends. But the same case scenario happened. And it came from feeling just shame and not knowing how to deal with it, not knowing what to do.
Can I mention one thing?
Sure.
That I think is super awesome. In Utah here we have, and maybe, I don't know if you've already brought this up, but there's an app that really anyone, parents, teachers, counselors, and especially our youth and our children even, can get this app on their phone. It's called Safe Utah. And they can text, they can chat, they can call, they can describe what's happening. It's a very easy-to-use app. So if there's bullying, if there's something going on, and they can do it anonymously so that they can actually report it. And it goes to school administrators, authorities, counselors that know how to help.
Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Never love in vain. And in my heart, you'll always remain forever young. Forever young.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. I'm talking about a sensitive subject in this hour, but really needed to tackle it. It's a problem, and I think there's a lot of angles that we don't think of as parents and as grandparents, and also all ages. It's happening to all ages, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Make sure you're supporting Defending Utah. They have all kinds of DVDs on secret combinations, all the way to all kinds of training, how to be a watchdog, how to look at legislation, how to approach your legislators that call you names behind your back and do all of these things. You know, there's lots of things you need to know about what they're doing. And please, by all means, you have to know now how to deal with them. So as they're trying to deal with you, the little people. So we need a better understanding on how to do these things. And defendingutah.org does such a fantastic job. Bet is just fantastic. So get over to defendingutah.org. They have lots of training videos. They have all kinds of things. And they have a newsletter that you can subscribe to, support them, and you get both. You get all kinds of information and that a lot of other people aren't privy to because you're part of Defending Utah, but also you're supporting them at the same time, and they need that support. So I would highly, highly recommend getting over to defendingutah.org and check it out. Check it out for yourself. It's a great way to get great materials. Even Agenda 21, they'll tell you how it's coming in every city or how not coming. It's here. How it's here. So we're talking about youth suicide, and in particular, we're talking about a case where a lot of parents don't realize that they could be approached by somebody in another country via social media, via their phone. They have these phones with them. We didn't have this growing up. You know, we didn't have phones with us all the time where we could be connecting with people we don't know, and sometimes we don't know what's going on with our kids. And so, you know, your kid could be a victim of extortion. Your child can be in that situation and not know what to do with that because they're too afraid to come to you. They're too afraid to say anything. They're too afraid to tell their friends. They're too afraid. And we've got to make sure that they know that they can, it doesn't matter what is going on, that they can come to us. And I love that this family spoke out and had the courage to do so, because I know it's still difficult for them to even talk about it, much less anything else. So, you know, my heart goes out to them. In this case, up a high schooler up in northern Utah. I'm talking to Sean McCausland and Camille McCausland, and they're doing an event on April 13th. This is at Hurricane High School. It's 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and they have wonderful speakers. They have Jody Rich speaking, and they have Nicole Rammel, and they have Angel Navulu, and they have Michaeleen singing, Don Gilman, Faith McCausland, and Thomas Lamb, Veterans Outreach. And it's just, this is from 9 to 1 on the 13th. It's a Saturday panel discussion, all kinds of things like what we're talking about right now, that we need to have these conversations. But also for small kids, there's been a rash of little kids doing this, and also adults. And so, Sean, as this is sort of, this event will touch it all, right? This event will kind of go through veterans all the way to every age.
Yeah.
We're all affected by it.
We realize that, you know, for one specific issue, there might be one specific solution.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know what you're going to be facing. And so we have all these different speakers. One of them focuses and works with kids that are struggling with their sexual identity.
Mm-hmm.
One of them works specifically with helping people get their self-image up with music.
Right.
One, Jody Rich, is a personal friend, and he, I put on the poster, he's a friend to thousands.
Mm-hmm.
As I walked through his high school when he was the principal there, we'd walk through his high school, and he would call every single kid in an 800-person school by name.
Right.
And he knew something about every one of them.
Isn't that great?
And, you know, that's the kind of people we want in our education system.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the kind of people we have coming. It's going to be awesome.
I'm
really excited about it.
I am too. And it does. I think, you know, we were talking on the break that this touches everybody. And I'm sure everyone listening, you know, somebody in your immediate family or friend circle or somebody where this is happening, you're dealing with this. And it is. It's touched everybody. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Whoops, I'm echoing. Turn your volume down. Caller. You're live. Okay. We get some of those sometimes. So going through this, and you're welcome to call up 888-673-1450 and share with us on this show as well about this subject. We'll keep it to this subject, please. But it's a scary thing when we're dealing with things that we don't even realize can happen, right? And so that's why the education sometimes is important,
right.
And that's why we have to sort of think outside the box a little bit more to what our kids are dealing with and grandkids are dealing with that we never did.
Exactly. One of the staggering statistics that I recently learned is that someone takes their life every 15 seconds.
Right.
Just saying that hurts my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and in our country, Utah has one of the highest rates of suicide. And sadly, it seems to be getting going higher.
Mm-hmm.
It is a complex issue. And in our day and age, it's... I think there's a little more openness, but there still is, I don't know what the right word is. I don't want to say stigma, but there's still something around suicide that we don't want to talk about it.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, that happens
taboo.
To somebody else,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's going to touch you sometime, and it's better to be prepared. I had no idea until we started organizing this conference how complex the issue is. There are so many things to learn about this, but you can help your children. You need to be aware. Awareness is one of the first things to helping prevent this, is to be aware. Now, we're more aware when something like this happens with this young man.
Mm-hmm.
We're more aware now, oh, that's a possibility.
Right.
You know, and we don't know what's around the corner. So, you know, people are going to come up with something else crazy, too.
I agree. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, my youngest son, he graduated about 4 years ago, but when he was a sophomore in high school, he came to me. My mother, or his mother, passed away a few years prior to this, but he came to me and asked me, he said, Dad, you got to get me on this medication. All my friends are on it, and all these were male boys, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
They all are on Adderall or something like that.
Adderall.
I can't remember exactly what it was. But he wanted to get on this medication because his counselors, people in the schools were all pushing this, saying how it calmed these boys down and made them better students and did all these things. And I absolutely refused to put him on this. About the year he graduated, he came to me and says, "Dad, I'm so glad that you refused to even address that, put me on medication or even go see the doctors about it." He says, "Now all my friends are all messed up. They can't get off this medication, you know." And you see the suicide rates here in Utah are almost all males. And it makes you wonder, where's the correlation there?
Interesting.
You know, they're pushing these medications. I got another little nephew that was 10 years old that was put on medication. Male, same thing.
We don't know what it's doing.
His school told him he had to get on this medication. But the whole purpose, this kid's smart as a whip. And I think his whole problem was he was just being bored in school. Instead of pushing him and seeing if he could get to a higher grade or, you know, educate him in a different fashion.
Right.
Their option was to put him on medication. Now the kid's so dumbed down he can't even function.
Oh, ouch. It drives me crazy. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, though. Man, we could do a whole show just on that alone. Thank you.
Yeah, but I think there's a correlation between that and the higher suicide rates that are occurring now than they used to be.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you,
thank
Kate.
You. I really appreciate you. Thank you. We'll take the next caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Oh, I just was listening. Jody Rich was the principal when I went to high school in Hurricane. Honestly, one of the greatest men in the world. I could hang up the phone with you and call him today, and he would be willing to meet me and grab something to eat and talk. And everyone should go listen to what he has to say, especially on the subject of bullying and stuff like that. I went through some of those things in high school, and there is not a better human being in Southern Utah than Jody Rich to talk about those kind of things and
that's
help
really
people.
Sweet.
And guide them through those scenarios.
Thank you for that. That's really sweet. Thank you. I've heard great things about him, too. Thank you. I really appreciate that. That, by the way, the event, if you're just joining us, is Saturday the 13th. A week and a half. And so Saturday the 13th, it's from 9 to 1. And there's a lot of speakers, a lot of things going on, resources, all kinds of things. There's tools, insights, actions for parents, for teachers, for students, for friends, for counselors, for spiritual counselors, all kinds of things at that event, which I love. And like I said, if you don't know what you're dealing with, you don't know all of these things, how in the world do you talk to your kids about it? And so, and our kids are affected. You know, my son's had several friends now, commit suicide, and it's been rough. It's been rough.
It happened to me in high school, and it was devastating.
The sad thing is
I didn't have one in high school. Can you imagine? And I had a large high school in California.
What's scary is, and it's kind of an epidemic effect. Like once one teen commits suicide, often you'll see several right after it.
I've
they don't
that.
Know exactly all the factors involved in why that happens, but we do know that it happens. One of the things that I think is awesome, and I loved the one caller when he was talking about Jody Rich, because the one thing Jody did all the time and still does is he connected with those kids. Now, it doesn't have to be Jody. He can't all of it for us. We as adults need to be out there and connecting. And even if it's just the young people that we're around, in whatever capacity we're around them, to let them know we're there, to look them in the eye, put our phone down, be present with them, and just let them know that we care. They may not always... you know, have some long conversation to have with us, but they will know that you are a person they could go to and trust. And that takes time to develop that. A parent definitely should do that with their child.
Yeah.
But we as adults in any community, in a given setting, we can do that for young people.
No, I totally agree with that. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, and it's just following up on that. Connections prevent suicide. If we feel connected, if we know that there are people that value us regardless of if we screwed up. You know, and I know kids in families where they don't think that their parents would love them if they made a mistake. Now, I don't think that's probably true in most cases. But I had a different friend that did commit suicide, and that was a key component, is her parents did not.
Right.
Because she was not perfect. They kicked her out of the house and told her, go away, we don't ever want to see
you
again.
And then you have the other scenario where you think you've got a very connected, great relationship. And there are many parents out there, myself included, I think I have a fantastic relationship with my kids. Although, even having this conversation, this is a different conversation, right? Because I'm saying, look, if somebody ever messaged you and threatened you or threatened her for any reason, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Going that far and having that conversation, as well connected as we think we are, changes it because they're hearing it at least. Oh, okay, yeah. So if anything happens in my life, I can still go, even though we think we're connected.
And we have to show them.
Right. Yeah.
We really do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No matter whether it's our own kid or somebody else.
Right.
Well, often they need a second witness. And this is why, because we know, especially with teens, a lot of times, sadly, our kids, they'll hear the same thing from us as they do from someone else. But when they hear it from so-and-so, so-and-so's mom, you know, somehow they perked up and they listened to it. So,
or an uncle or an aunt.
Yeah,
or,
and
yeah, somebody
being
outside.
That other adult outside of the family.
That's a good point.
Who is also connected and has made good connection relationship with that person can make a huge difference. They're often the person actually who is at the stage of intervening because there's prevention, which we want, right, before they ever get to this depressive state.
Sure.
And then there's intervention, which is when they're now they're standing on the ledge, you know. And then there's postvention, which we don't want to have to deal with, but we do if they decide to follow through. So we want to do the prevention.
I totally agree with that. And I do, that caller that mentioned the amount of drugs that the kids are taking at a very young age, we don't know what that's doing. We don't know the cause and effect of, well, we know the cause, but the effects, long-term effects.
Have you noticed
we've
that
never
on
had this
the
many
ads,
kids?
On,
yes.
They say, may cause suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
And you're going, okay.
Yeah, and nobody ever thinks they're going to be affected by what's on that label. And so I think that's another thing we have to look at, too, is just an honest conversation about if that's the scenario in your family, now you have to be even more aware, right, and more even more connected on that level to kind of figure out what's going on with your kids. Because there are no studies. We have so many kids on so many drugs now that we've never had this kind of population starting out at a very young age that have been medicated all through school. So I think that's a huge, I think it plays in as a huge component too. I so appreciate you. Sean McCausland, Camille, thank you. The event, 9 to 1 on April 13th, 9 in the morning to 1 p.m. at Hurricane High School.
Yes,
right.
Thank you for having
us. A lot of really wonderful speakers, and I encourage you to go to basically know what to say to your kids, how to talk to them about it, and some tools and insights that, like I said, I wasn't even aware of a case scenario like that, and so it really did. It put a light bulb in, and I'm glad. I'm really glad to know that, so I could have that conversation. You know, you never know. So I will be back on the national show. I'm going to be talking about a little bit on the same kind of line, going off a little bit, but I'm going to talk about what they're giving the military. Does that play into what's going on right now in record numbers? So I'll be going down. I'll be doing that. And in just a moment, be right back on the Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com. Stream live. And you can listen on your local dial. Also, email me, Kate@KateDalyRadio.com. Be right back.
Are you